This is Connor Lau, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all. Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 43. My name is Chris Bebeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Want to say thank you for everybody who has listened to the show this month. We've had like the most listens, downloads we've had all ever, which is pretty awesome. I think we're nearing like 800 for the month. So yeah. Thank you everybody who has supported it and liked the Facebook page, all that good stuff. We really do appreciate you listening to us and hanging out. So this week, I'm really excited. We have Connor Lau with us, who just played Bohemian Rhapsody on acoustic guitar. And, I mean, I could probably play it a little better. Freaking phenomenal, dude.
Thank you so much for coming on.
But, that sounded amazing.
Thank you so much.
I didn't want to look at you play because I was afraid I was going to mess it up just because I was so, I could see it in, my peripheral vision of, just jamming on. And I was like, that's got to be... How long did that take you to learn?
Not that long, actually. Stuff comes really naturally to me. How long? Probably, a couple weeks.
An hour.
Maybe. But, I mean, to perfect it, I can learn things really fast, and then mm-hmm. I'll perfect them over the...
Yeah, I got you. It sounded awesome.
Thank you so much.
It's amazing. It's phenomenal. So good job. And I was telling you, it's crazy how you don't really get a break in that. Does that, do you get... Is there any, Does it wear you out at all, or is you just,
No, it flows really well. It's so fun, yeah.
Oh, it sounded great. Well, yeah, again, thanks for hanging out here.
Thank you for having me. So,
how long have you been playing guitar?
Almost 5 years now.
Gosh, that seems like a short time for how good and... I'm sure it's a dedication thing.
I play all the time. I just love it. It's my passion, so...
You can tell that you're...
Thank you so much.
It's awesome. Do you have a preference of electric versus acoustic, or do you just kind of
I play both a lot. I have a couple acoustic duos, but for acoustic, I play finger style, I just did. That's really a huge inspiration. So Tommy Emmanuel mm-hmm. is really big on me, just playing finger style arrangement. And I still love electric because I do lots of classic rock and full mm-hmm. band stuff. So
yeah,
it's all just any guitar I'll play.
Just guitar in general. Yeah. Is there any guitar players that you're just huge fan of?
There's a lot. I mean, from Hendrix to Tommy Emmanuel to Eric Johnson is one of my big mm-hmm. ones. I mean, even the Urge guys, Jerry's a great guitarist. I'm really into jazz, so Pat Martino and Wes Montgomery and just many people.
It seems like people who are really enthusiastic about saying instrument, so isn't just I just like rock music.
I'm sure you're just all over the spectrum,
and I think that makes, I'm sure, probably has made you a better guitar player.
Definitely.
It's not just power chords, Green Day or whatever. It's spanning all over the course. So what was it that kind of got you into guitar? Is it just love of music?
Musical family, and my cousin, my uncle's a big in the St. Louis scene, especially. He plays in a band called Kung Fu Caveman.
Okay.
But, he grew up playing with Mark Quinn, the singer of Celebration Day, and El Monstero. But he's always been an inspiration to me. And I always loved music growing up with my mom playing great music always around the house. And my cousin moved in with us, and he played. And he basically taught me everything he knew in a week and a half. So I got online, and I found Marty Schwartz, who's a YouTube guitar teacher. Did all his lessons, and I still love Marty. We're good friends. He actually sent me an amp. After I made my first video, because I came upstairs one day to my mom. I'm like, Mom, here's what I've been working on in the basement, and just played The Ocean and Crazy Train, just a bunch of classic rock stuff.
It's nice.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure, I used to play guitar. I mean, I play, but I'm not really that good. I think the first song I learned was Blink-182, so I feel really bad that you're just I played these amazing songs.
My first song I learned was Smoke on the Water. Full song I learned, Frankenstein by Edgar Winter. Yeah. I think that was the first full one. I don't know, I learned so much in that time, but I remember learning that full song from my cousin and playing that, so.
So you go to, it's called School of Rock, right?
I'm in the school.
Kind of explain that, because obviously anybody who hears that probably thinks of the movie and Jack Black.
Right.
So I told Shane, when you get here, I'm going to ask you what it was like acting with Jack Black. Just joking. But kind of explain what School of Rock is.
Well, it's been around for, I think, 13 years. Around 13 years, and it started in Philadelphia. And it's basically a program for kind of kids like me, just kids who love music and want to play. So it opened up in St. Louis. A year and a half ago, maybe, and I've been in it since the beginning. I know the main guy, Jordan, and I'm good friends with everyone that works there now, but it started off, you do shows each season covering a specific band or genre, and then you put on a big show at a local cool venue. So the first show they did was we covered the whole entire Wall Pink Floyd album, and a bunch of kids signed up, and now they do like, there's so many kids that did, they opened up a school rock in Kirkwood. I go to the one in Baldwin, and there's like five shows at Baldwin. Right now I'm doing Michael Jackson versus Prince. I just finished up Frank Zappa show. But they also have great opportunities like the house band, which is the kids that try out and are like the esteemed of the area. And we play around locally pretty often. We're going to be playing soon. I'm not sure about dates yet, but we're going to get those going. And then the main opportunity is the All Stars, which is like 120, is it? 150. Okay, 150 kids from like their school rocks all over the U.S.
Yeah. And
almost every city. So 150 kids get selected. They try out the tryout to be an All Star, and I was selected to be an All Star this year. So I played at Lollapalooza. House of Blues, and just all, I toured Chicago for a week. So.
Oh, that was probably amazing. Was it like intimidating at all, like to go up, or you're just like, man, I'm just playing guitar?
Well, you basically get put in groups, like six groups, three groups tour Chicago and three tour the East Coast and play a gathering of the vibes. But you kind of connect with the people, like I got the people I was going to room with over Facebook months in advance, and you get all the songs and you learn them. And everyone's just like, there's nothing to be intimidated because I didn't meet a kid that wasn't cool. Like, everybody was just so in love with music and just same passion. And I remember getting there to the airport, met my keyboard player, and we drove straight to a rehearsal room in downtown Chicago, played hours just practicing songs. And the first song I played was a Funkadelic song with my friend, my new friends, and it just clicked, and it was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. It's probably got to be a blast to be able to, you know, join up with a bunch of, you know, musicians who are, you know, phenomenal, exactly. You know, different instruments, and just to be able to jam, because it's not like, you know, okay, I'm going to start a band with a couple guys.
Right.
Like if it was me starting a band, I'd be like, hey, well, I'm okay. Guitar, I'm not great. You know, having like all these really probably world-class musicians.
It's awesome to be surrounded by all that, and, the connections you make, like I still talk to all the people I toured with all the time, and we're hoping we'll make All Stars again to tour together, but just all over, like on my team, kids from LA, kids from Philly, kids from Pennsylvania, just everywhere. Yeah.
That's incredible. I didn't even knew like stuff like that existed. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Like, and a great opportunity
too,
for people who are really extremely passionate about and talented to get together with others and form. So it like, at School of Rock, is it teaching like things of how to play, or is it more of like performance?
Okay, they do lessons weekly, but the main thing about School of Rock is they're teaching music through performance and playing out. So kind of teaching you how to play based on like what it's like to be an actual musician in a band.
Oh, that's cool. So it's kind of like probably you bring the skill, and then they kind of develop the other aspect of performing.
And they
live.
Still do lessons, so they meet once a week with the students to work on that skill stuff, work on times, because you're assigned songs per show. So you're expected to learn all the parts.
Yeah.
And you go in and you just work, and then you put on an awesome show. So
that'd be a blast. Now, do you, when they assign songs, is it like, when I learned guitar, it was tabs, like going on like guitar or CC or something. So can you read music?
I can read music too, but when they assign songs, they'll like, do a whole list of songs, and it'll be like, on vocals this, on guitar this, on bass this, and you're expected to go to your instructor and work on it. But yeah, a lot of the kids, like the guitar, so they'll just go online, find some tab, learn the song.
Yeah.
I like listening by ear to develop my ear, but I also use tab and music or just anything really. So.
Yeah, I'm sure probably the tabs are good to get like a basis of where, and then from your ear, and I'm sure with how well you are, you can kind of
hear
it and know exactly kind of where
it's
where
awesome.
You're going.
So, and it's kind of like practicing, like, because in Michael Jackson versus Prince, there's not going to be tabs for lots of parts because they're so subtle, but they're still there.
Yeah.
So it's like really developing your ear and learning those little parts. So.
Yeah, and probably transitioning to certain songs that, you know, it may not even be guitar that you can transition to.
Exactly.
Kind of like, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, where it's not necessarily completely guitar-driven song.
Right, exactly.
Incorporated the whole thing into guitar parts.
Which is awesome. But with Skill Rock, they also have, like, great people working there. Like, Jordan Heimberger, he's in the local band The Feed, that's really good. But they all have, like, experience being musicians for a long time. Like, I just did a Frank Zappa show, and who ran that is James Holt, who's, like, really good friends with Dweezil Zappa, Frank's son. So he got me to meet Dweezil a couple years ago, and we're going to see him again. But it was, like, almost working with Dweezil is, like, the second yeah. source. So
wow.
Just so much cool stuff to do there.
When you just did, I guess it got rescheduled, but you guys ended up making it happen. But you played with The Urge and with Steve and Clockwork over the...
I did play with them. Steve does an acoustic brunch Sundays,
yeah.
and he's going to start doing that regularly, but he's done it kind of scattered over the past couple months. Yeah. But, it's a lot of fun. They do a hot dog buffet. It's at the new location in Tower Grove, and they have a couple acoustic bands. So my acoustic duo, Irie Sun, played last time. Clockwork did an acoustic set, and then I played with Steve and Chan and Adam. So
yeah, I went to one of those there. It's actually at the On the Hill location. Uh-huh. He did a party and had a bunch of people, Steve and Woolley and can't remember who else was all there, but it was just fun.
Yeah,
like, especially
so fun.
In such a small
exactly because it's so intimate and Steve's like all up and everybody. It's so fun.
Now, I'm just curious because you seem very like composed and like because you're 14, right?
Yeah.
Like I know like for all like because I've the recognition stuff and opportunities you've had, mm-hmm. I would be totally like giddy and be like check out what I can do. Like you seem very well put together.
Thank you so much.
Compliment you on that because that's awesome. So is it kind of surreal? Or
yes, it is. I'm very fortunate and blessed, and I'm thankful to have just everything I'm for, especially like a cool mom that's so supportive. I'm very blessed, and I just work hard, very hard, to keep growing musically. And just
it sounds like you definitely, because a lot of things, especially, probably people your age that get into something that's kind of casual, but it does take a lot of work to have something you're really, truly passionate about, something if you want to pursue it as a career.
Right.
It's not just something, I'll play guitar a couple
times. Right, exactly.
And it seems like you definitely
have
that.
Yeah, I just play all the time.
Well, that's awesome. So is there like kind of a ultimate goal? Would you like to... kind of start have I know you have a band that you're in is it it's how do you say it?
Irie Sun.
Okay, but I was about to say Irie Sun. I know you mentioned
right
so is it something you kind of want to do your own thing, or would you like to kind of travel as like a I don't say for hire musician, but is there kind of an
saying.
Ultimate
I have Irie Sun, and it's fun because we play all the local like coffee shops, just like places that want acoustic music, which is lots of fun. And I don't know, I'm starting like a full band, and I play with some other people. I just love playing with anyone, but my goal, I just want to tour the world playing music. That's what I want to do, so.
Yeah.
But I'll do music in any form.
Yeah, I guess as long as you're playing that you're
happy.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's what
exactly.
you love.
Even if, yeah, so.
That's awesome. So is there any other stuff you do outside of guitar? Because I know when I was 14, I was playing like Nintendo 64. Right. I was like, I just would play games and stuff. So what else do you do? Or is it just kind of guitar? Which is totally cool.
Right. Yeah. Guitar and music. That's just,
that's awesome.
That's where I feel at home. Like nothing really, I don't know. Nothing else really speaks to me like guitar does. So I'm always, and my friends are the same way. They love music. So it's like, if a hangout session for me is like jamming and playing music, so.
Well, again, I think the people who really are successful in music are those who dedicate the time to it.
Right.
And so I'm not in any way.
Oh,
like,
no,
you should be playing more games. I'm totally, that's awesome that, you're able to do what you love and not get bored of it. Because my attention span is absolutely terrible. So I'll be like, oh, this is awesome. And a week later, I'm just like, okay, so. But that's just me.
Thank you. Oh. I know.
So you played with, you said, or saw you play with El Monstero.
Yes.
How big of a blast was
Oh, it was amazing. it was one of my biggest honors, and hopefully I'll be back, because, I know, I've known all the guys for a while, but when Kevin asked me to do it, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I was at the show, and it was a lot of fun to see you up there, and then the whole show was incredible.
Right.
Just, it was really, really neat how they did, how they brought you on, and how they just the supporting a local and young talent,
right, which is awesome.
And you know, and then at the end they Favaz
announced
and everything. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. That was just a really a cool night. And,
right.
And those guys just kill it every time.
Yeah, it's they're incredible amazing. Show. Yeah, it really is. So that yeah, when I went out there, my fingers just played themselves, and I just. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. And Favaz is awesome. Yeah. I love Favaz.
It's gotta be great to have that confidence, like of knowing what you're doing, you know.
Right.
Of just being able to go out and just enjoy the moment.
Right, exactly.
A lot of people I think would be just stressed out or whatever, but right. But you know, and a few of the musicians we talk to, they say that's kind of like their most comfortable moment is going out there.
Right. On stage.
Just being able to jam it and have a blast in front of a sold out. Was that the pageant? Like, gosh, that'd be
It's such a cool room too. Like,
right.
You know, it's, you know, it's just a beautiful theater and one of my favorite places to see a show. And
same here.
And it's fun. Like I've seen, you know, a lot of different bands there, obviously. But it's like a lot of them say it's one of their favorite places to play.
Right. Exactly. It's so cool, and it's intimate in the pit and all that. So it's just so fun.
So, are there any songs you're working on now that you're trying to learn that? Are challenging you, because I'm just baffled, like,
you could probably
pick up any song and just play it, like, just no, like, but is there anything that, like, you're trying to learn right now?
Songs come easy to me, like, I'll just work on them and focus and get them down, but I really like, working on concepts, like, learning new ways to apply things and new things, work on always technique and how you play, just work on, there's so much in the music world to learn, like you can never know it all, so I'm just constantly learning more and more, but I'm learning so many songs. I just learn songs all the time, and I will admit sometimes I'll be learning a song, I'll learn it and then I'll go, oh, I'll learn this and then I'll learn this and then this and then like I gotta perfect them.
Right. But getting the basics down,
right, exactly,
it's kind of the most challenging part I think for when I tried to play. And once you get that, then it's the fun
right,
part.
Right, exactly.
Perfecting
exactly.
it and maybe even throwing it kind of like your own spins.
Right, exactly.
Well, you, I like that you don't, like, shy away from challenges, though. Like, you posted your video of Cliffs of Dover, which is not an easy song by any means. And then with, like, you got your, was your Keishi debut?
Which is... an honor. Learn has talked about me on there before. She shouted me out, but she played my video, and it's just mind boggling.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
Playing the pageant, playing Keishi.
Just so much cool stuff.
Do people at school are like, hey, man, like,
I mean,
or do they just treat you kind of like,
well, yeah. I don't know. This generation isn't my favorite, so it's not like I'm like the dude who loves school and loves hanging out with all these kids, but. I mean, people, like my few friends at school I do have, they really appreciate all this, and they're really happy for me, which is cool. But sometimes I'll be like, I played with Elmont. Who's that? The Pink Floyd cover? Who's Pink Floyd? I'm like...
Did you hear that other song?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I think, too, like, music now has such, like, a quick... jump of, like, what's popular. And
exactly.
What's, you know?
It's lifespans.
Yeah, and I think... You kind of mentioned, like, a lot of your enjoyment came from, like, listening to music that you'd play, you know, your mom play. That I was the same way when I was growing up. I always was in the car with my mom listening to, like, the oldies and stuff.
Right.
So, like, I have a lot of, you know, stuff of, like, Motown and Elvis and stuff like that. And I can appreciate that, and I'm glad I do because, you know, as I got older, I started to listen to a lot of, like, I know in college it was all, like, Atreyu and, like, Screamo and stuff. And then after that phase kind of leaves, you're kind of like... It's more comforting to go back and listen to some of that better stuff, you know, not just, you know, you realize music trends now are so in and out.
Exactly.
That stuff that's from, like, Queen and classic stuff really holds its...
Exactly.
You know.
And that's what inspired everything, yeah.
Right, yeah, and a lot of bands now can probably look back to those.
Exactly.
And appreciate it. Now, do you write a lot of your own stuff, too?
I'm starting to write a lot of stuff. I actually have one... fingerstyle single out called Good Vibrations. It's on my Facebook and all that. So I'm writing a lot lately, hoping to get this band together to record stuff this year. I want to release like an album for sure, or at least an EP or something, get stuff out there so I can start getting original stuff out there.
What's your writing process? Is it just kind of jamming around, or are you trying to sit down and say I'm gonna write a song, or
it kind of just flows. I mean, I'll be playing, I can come up with riffs really easily, so I'll just be playing, I'll record something, just like 20-second riff, and I'll come back to it at, I don't know, I kind of like record little pieces and come back to it and mix it together. Or sometimes I will just sit down and I'll just write a song.
Just write a whole song. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's really hard to, like, and I don't know if anybody can just sit down and say, I'm going to write a song.
Right.
And, like, you know, because it's just, like, forcing creativity.
Exactly. You
know,
can't force it.
It has to, yeah, come kind of naturally.
Inspired. Yeah.
And do you play any other instruments outside guitar?
I can play bass. I can play ukulele, and I'm starting to sing more. And but guitar is my main. I can play a little piano, mm-hmm. but it's just good to have that versatility of everything, especially mm-hmm. for songwriting.
Oh yeah,
so you can do that. Because yesterday I recorded "Good Vibrations" at a friend's house. He's just like a sound engineer type dude, and we're adding bass and drums, so I recorded the bass part. And,
oh, that's cool.
Just all that. So it's really, I play other stuff, but guitar is my main.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, I know, especially if you can play other things, it just, because of it, it stems creativity, whether
exactly.
it's like writing a song on piano and then transferring
exactly.
to guitar or whatever, like,
exactly.
is a huge bonus because,
exactly.
you know, sticking to one guitar, I think, just builds your,
uh-huh.
Your versatility, but mm-hmm. not that you need it. I mean, maybe I'm just
no,
gonna
I can always
the whole time
need
you don't
more.
Mind.
No, I always need more.
That's awesome. But I know, like, yeah, I think, you kind of get to a point probably as a musician where you want to try and start writing your own stuff.
Uh-huh.
And just because, you know, you learn all these other songs.
Right,
and
you
want to like,
express
well, just, yeah, exactly. And... Now, you said you sing too?
A little bit. But I'm getting to the point where I want to start singing regularly. And
yeah.
My uncle's really pushing me on that
a lot.
Yeah.
Are you able to, I guess, can you sing and play it?
Yeah, I can sing and play it at the same time. It's just... getting comfortable with that, you know,
yeah.
because I'm so used to just playing guitar. But I mean, I sing out a little, like a little now. I do lots. I can do backup vocals and
yeah.
all that. But I'm trying to do really yeah. get singing, so I can sing in this band that I'm trying to do. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I with songwriting, I always do. You ever have like where you just feel like, oh, that's been done, like, or you know, it's like,
yeah,
especially
but,
as you listen to as much music as you do,
right?
Yeah.
Well, my thing with that is like. When you think, oh, this sounds like something, you realize everything's been done.
Right, yeah.
Right.
You know, but you can always extend off that. Like my song, Good Vibrations, my mom reminded me, she's like, it sounds so much like Ventura Highway by America. And I listened to it, I'm like, it does. But that's
yeah.
okay, because it's not the same thing.
Right.
It's
yeah.
just because when music started, all these great concepts were created and people just expand off them.
Sure.
So
yeah, I mean, there's only so many chords. And
exactly.
It's like... everything's going to start eventually
uh-huh,
sound
exactly.
somewhat similar.
Exactly. But what's cool is it all develops. So nothing sounds exactly the same.
Right.
But it's got, if you go deep enough into the roots,
mm-hmm.
that's when you find, like, here are the.
Yeah. Or you can be like that Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
That ours goes.
Right, exactly.
She's in a different guitar effect. It sounds different. So,
exactly.
You can't see me. Now, are you a kind of a guitar enthusiast at all? Do you?
I love guitars. I have probably in the teens. I don't know. I need to count so when people ask me, I can say. But
do you have a favorite, like, or a dream guitar you'd love to have?
I'm so bad at favorites in any case. I'm bad at picking favorite guitars, favorite songs. I'm terrible
yeah.
at favorites. But, I mean, I love all my guitars because they're all good for different things. I mean, my uncle built me a guitar. He builds really nice guitars, Eric Boscher guitars. And that's really special to me because he built it. My first guitar is a Fender American Strat, which is they're all special.
Yeah.
You know? So, I love them all. My Martin I've had for a couple years. Just they all have their own sound, and I use
yeah.
them all, so
oh.
they're not put
yeah.
to waste.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also important, especially when creating original stuff,
mm-hmm.
is to have you know, a lot of different tones and
yeah,
and
exactly.
Because we just talked with Jeremiah Johnson
mm-hmm.
A week ago, and that's what he was saying. You know, he's always been a Gibson man,
mm-hmm.
and then like, but they. When he worked in the studio, they pushed him to use different guitars, and
right.
so he got a lot of different sounds out of his music
mm-hmm.
compared to just using the same guitar.
Right,
every
exactly,
time.
Which is the beauty of guitars.
Yeah.
That's why I always want more in pedals.
I'll
and
say
amps.
You have a lot of, yeah, like pedals or like
yeah.
boards. I know I tried to build a pedal board one time, and
right.
it's just like, I don't have a ton of stuff, but like that's something whenever I see it, like they have these huge, just phenomenal
yeah.
pedal boards, and just gives you so much variation too
uh-huh.
of writing music to try different
right, exactly.
sounds and. And things like that.
And trying to copy the sound of, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet. Now, yeah, how does that, like, how do you go about, you know, if you're covering a song or perform a song, to try and get that tone? Or is it when you guys perform at School of Rock, is it Is it more of like cover to try and sound very close to
the people? We want to sound exactly like who we're playing. But with that, it's kind of like the big thing for me is first learn everything about the song and learn about who played on it. You got to get into their mindset, you know, and just do that. But there's really simple things that people do to get tone, like just their picking technique or anything, and you want to try and match that.
Yeah.
Because you want people to hear and be like, oh. That sounds like what I
hear. Right, yeah, I guess the effect is comes after because that can always just be applied, but actually the technique and the rhythm and the strum pattern is the most important thing.
Yeah, and the notes, of course.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I'll get caught up and I'll just do a little bit of me mixed with, like if I'm covering a Hendrix, I'll do Hendrix solo, I'm not done soloing yet.
Do they ever like look at you and be like, hey, back to the song. Yeah. What are you doing?
Exactly.
Sorry, I just had a riff a little bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
What you got on your SoundCloud, you doing sort of Hendrix version of Star Spangled Banner, right?
Yes.
Did you get it? So did you actually get to play that at Busch too?
I didn't play it at Busch Stadium, but I played it at the Rascals games a couple of times.
Yeah.
And played at the school. My school's really cool, and they'll have me play the national anthem sometimes, or they have in the past, and just wherever anyone needs it. Because I do a jazz version of it, and I do the Hendrix version. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Like, it's fun to hear, like, that, you know, especially, you know, an iconic song of
right.
nature, but just to have fun with it, kind of a little bit to do those, like, solos and they're like Hendrix and
right exactly yeah so. Hendrix is one of my biggest inspirations for sure.
When you when you're performing live, and say what's the best aspect that you kind of see of like a live show that really, like, if you go see a band live, what is it that you were like, I know when I see like guys like Story of the Year and stuff who move around like crazy on stage, what is it to you that like that you really enjoy when you go to a live show? Is it
the music? I mean, I just love the music, but a good stage presence is awesome. Like, the Erds are so good with stage presence. It's so fun. But just the whole energy of the thing, like, when they're phenomenal musicians just playing great music, I just really enjoy that.
Yeah.
And at shows, I really focus in on the guitars.
I bet, like,
just zoned in.
And I'm sure, too, if you're playing something extremely complicated, you can't be able to be running around, you know, just because you gotta play, right? But yeah, it's kind of, it's funny how you can, if you look at it and zone in on, like, who's playing, you can almost hear, you can hear exactly what they're doing in a sense, you know. Even if it's a whole band playing, you kind of pick up the little subtleties of it.
Exactly.
It's really interesting how your ear kind of develops.
Yeah, which is
awesome. And probably when you're listening to music, I'm sure, same way, you can almost zone everything out in a sense and just pick up.
Exactly what you're trying to, exactly. But I love going to shows. I go to lots of shows and just love live music.
Yeah, I saw you, at least one of the Yard shows.
I was at both of them backstage,
And then I saw you at, obviously, the El Monstero show in the crowd.
I came in the crowd for the beginning and the end. So I just love, I like being in the crowd. Like, some people don't like it, but I love just being by a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I that's where I'm always down on the pit,
you know,
on the dance floor and getting moving around with everybody. And
exactly.
I love, you know, being close, and I love just, you know, the interaction with the crowd there and stuff, compared to just sitting back in the seats. And
And it's cool to see how the crowd varies from show to show. Like, El Monstero shows are great. Everyone just kind of mellow. Shows, moshy and all that. I went to a Lauryn Hill show. I love Lauryn Hill, and that's all hip-hop, and everyone just dancing. It was so fun. Just a bunch of variation between shows, so.
Do you ever go in the pit? I know, I've never gone in a mosh pit because I'm so, like, I'm scrawny. I'm like, I would totally
I go in the pit every show. They let me go in the pit because sometimes they don't. When they don't let you go in the pit, I get really bummed because sometimes they won't let minors. But every time I can, I right up front, and I hang out with my friend Ralph, who's the old hat guy, tie-dye shirt guy that goes to, like, every show in St. Louis. So I just love being in the pit.
Yeah, I think with the first Surge show, it was like all ages down there, and
the second was all ages.
That's the first one. They had alcohol on the floor. They had like adults only down there, and like, and it got pretty wild.
Right, I know.
So I think the second one, they were like, "Yeah, let's not do that. Like, yeah, let's not have the alcohol down there."
Yeah,
like it was. But yeah, I've been down like Story of the Year. Like Chris said, I saw those guys at the pageant their last time they played there, and the pit got nuts down there. It was just like, it was one of the craziest ones I've been a part of. And
yeah.
I'm not usually into that. Like, I'll usually stick to the outside and just kind of shove everybody back in.
Right. Yeah, I'm not into the whole.
Yeah, I'm not into getting hurt going to a show.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm out here having a good time.
Uh-huh. So. I know what you're saying.
Plus, like, you're like me. I wear glasses. And I'm going to get my glasses dropped.
Yeah. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Even, like, I'll go to little shows. I went to a little show, a school rock show. And at the school rock shows, they'll have, like, a well-known St. Louis band that one of the teachers is in play as the headliner. And, Valley played, and they're like this heavy metal band, and there was only like 15 of us around, but they started moshing, and I was like, I was in the middle of it, and then when you drop your glasses, it's like, no, everybody stop!
Hold on, hold on.
These are expensive, so. But it's...
So, like, you say you go to a lot of shows. Do you see the St. Louis scene? Because it seemed like when I was... You know, in high school, and Shane, I don't know if you can kind of talk to this too. Maybe it's always it's always seemed very rock oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Has it seemed, at least like with who we've spoken to in the last, you know, since we started the show, it seems like St. Louis has really kind of expanded into, you know, there's blues scenes, right, and all these different things. Do you kind of see St. Louis, and obviously, you know, I'm talking from what, 10 years ago now. Do you see St. Louis as being a little more open to not just rock music, you know, right, to different styles of music?
Yes, I definitely do. I mean, there's lots of classic rock cover bands,
mm-hmm,
and there's, like, The Urge and all the 90s guys from down here that were, like, that rock type stuff, which is awesome. I love rock. But there's lots of jazz. I'm really into jazz, and Jazz at the Bistro downtown, they're having, like, big jazz artists,
mm-hmm,
and regularly. There's lots of blues. St. Louis is, like, blues city,
mm-hmm,
and there's lots of hip-hop. I've met a really good friend, Vega Heartbreak, that I've worked with. And I did the Cardinals Rally song with him. Awesome. And that's just, like, something for everybody. But I see it expanding more, which is good, kind of fusing into...
Well, again, I think it's awesome, too, just that you have such an interest in different styles of music, uh-huh, and you don't kind of handcuff yourself into one style, uh-huh, like just rock music.
Right.
You know? Because it does give you opportunities, too, just to be able to expand out and then learn from different styles. You
exactly.
Hip-hop or blues artist, you may pick something up that you totally wouldn't have learned from a rock.
Exactly.
You know, straight rock band. And I think that's awesome and a great feature to have, instead of, because I know, God, in college I was always like, if it's not heavy, I don't want to listen to it. And now I listen to musicals and things, uh-huh, like that, and you just really can appreciate that.
Exactly.
That type of stuff that's not just so one-dimensional, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, my least favorite thing is when people are... not versatile, when they're only, like, they just turn away other music without even giving it a chance.
Yeah,
so.
And I think it's a maturity thing that, like I said, you seem very mature.
Thank you.
And I think it's just, musically, people are like, oh, I don't like this style or this style, and it's like, if you give it a chance, or just open your mind and not just say...
Exactly, that you can at least respect it.
Right, exactly, and I think I've learned that any type of music that I say I don't like, I always come back to end up liking it, and it just never fails. Like, I can think, oh, Taylor Swift sucks, and like, I'm in my car and my son listens to that Shake It Off song all the time. It's good, a good song.
Yeah, I had to play that song a couple weeks ago, because at School Rock, they kind of had me as like the role model, so I helped with this little kid show. And it was Pop Goes Punk, which was, I mean, I'm not the biggest pop fan, but it was fun working with the kids and rocking out new songs.
So what are the kind of age range of School Rock? Is it, how old, I mean, is it up to 18?
18,
or is it,
it's up to 18, and there's little programs for, like, the younger kids, but, they have the main programs just up to 18 years old, and they do cool things, like... We do a summer tour for all St. Louis kids. All School Rocks basically go, and we play Summerfest in Milwaukee, and we tour Milwaukee for like 5 days. So, just so many opportunities.
That's awesome. I love, like, to see the little, like, you know, it's kind of like if you go to a hockey game, you see like the little kids playing like at intermission, like the real, like, it's something about seeing little, like, younger kids play or do whatever, like, and be good at it. It's just probably really awesome to see. Yeah. Is there any like little, like a younger guy that you've seen that just like, that dude's awesome?
I mean, it's just refreshing to see kids play and love it. So
yeah,
there's a bunch of people that are just,
I'm just curious what's their, I guess, view on music. Do you kind of ever talk to like the younger kids? I'm just curious. Like, I feel like when my son, he's three, I'm just thinking like when he's older, and I just think of like how, you know, everything's so, like, Facebook, everything's out there now, what his, like, view of things are going to be.
Uh-huh.
I'm just curious, like, if you've kind of seen with kids that grow up with technology and the music scene, if they kind of say anything unique that you've noticed, or it's just kind of...
What I like is when I talk to a kid and I'm like, so who are you listening to? And he's like, I listen to Rush and all this.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Like, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I like hearing that. And James, who ran the Zappa show, I talked to his daughter and she's like 3. And I was like, who are you listening to? And he's like, 5. Okay. Same thing.
She's 27.
But she's like, I was like, who are you listening to? She's like, Frank Zappa. So it's just awesome to hear like little kids listening to the really good.
Well, and it's stuff. Yeah, good to kind of, I think, introduce kids to different styles of music. You know, let them listen to whatever they want, you know, whatever they enjoy, you know.
Right.
But to be able to say, hey, you know, check this out, and not just, you know, barricade them to a single, just how we're kind of talking about it is good.
I was wondering about with that School of Rock stuff, like, is it kind of like baseball or basketball teams or whatever, where you got to like sell like fundraiser stuff, or is it like, do you make the like sell tickets to the shows and make money that way to continue doing stuff?
Yeah,
or?
You sell tickets to the shows. Yeah. They're like $8.
Right.
But lots of people come, which is good. Like the shows are usually pretty busy. Nice. And yeah, I remember our first show, the Wall show, like a bunch of like all the El Monstero guys were there. It saw Jimmy in the audience. It was just awesome. So people just really enjoy seeing all the kids play this music, which is fun. Yeah. And plus, I forgot to mention this, I got to play with John Anderson, the singer of Yes. So
Yeah,
we did a Yes show and got to play with him. And
yeah, that's late summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was August 16th, yeah. I believe. It was the U19. We made a whole day where all the School Rock kids got to bring their own band, basically. Like, my band, Irie Sun, played, but we extended and did full band. We do that sometimes. My friends' bands played. Clockwork played for a little, but it started storming terribly, so everyone had to leave the park, Chesterfield Amphitheater.
Yeah.
And then, thank God, I mean, John Anderson, he's a special guy, because I remember that morning we were doing sound check at, like, 9, and he walks up on stage, and it's all raining, and he's like, and it just, all the rain stops, the sun comes out, chime, he had us get chimes for the show, so we did the little chime thing, and he's just like, let us sing, he has a really high voice, British voice, which is awesome, and the rain stopped, everyone came back in, and we played like an hour of Yes music, which was awesome, with the singer, so.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Yeah, that's some pretty crazy stuff. So
yeah,
too. Like that's no easy music. Any
right? Which I love. Yes, and Rush and like prog rock, all that type of stuff.
So what's well, let's talk about kind of Irie Sun again. Your band you have.
Uh-huh.
So what's kind of the style of music that is? Is it a little different from outside of just kind of rock?
We do a pretty wide variety. We do a little jazz, little rock, little newer stuff, but not necessarily the stuff you hear on the radio, but recent stuff that's kind of, I don't know, I guess kind of indie stuff, which is cool. I like indie stuff, but we play Saturdays from 6:45 to 9:30, and we're doing that on the 24th and the 31st at Tequila Mexican Restaurant in St. Peter's.
Oh.
And we do I like playing with Jesse a lot. We have lots of fun, and just it's cool to play all the venues that, like, we get to play the venues that don't have full bands. So.
Yeah. Do you kind of approach shows differently from, obviously, like El Monstero when you play that?
Right.
Like, do you kind of go into a different mindset when you're playing say, like, a place like
that? Yeah, it's more, I do lots of looping, so I'll loop the rhythm and solo, but it's kind of just like more laid back, just kind of
jam, kind of a chill hanging. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, which was fun.
Did you meet her through School of Rock? Also?
No, I met her like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, around then, through Camp Jam.
Okay.
And that's, lots of Camp Jam kids do School Rock, but that's a once a year thing that's for a week, and Jimmy Griffin's been running that for the past couple years, and it's kind of thing, you go and on Monday, you all do like little tryouts, and they put you in bands based on who they think you'll play well with. And me and Jesse got put in a band, and then we kind of just clicked, started playing together, and we've been playing ever since. But I play shows all the time, and one coming up is with my first guitar teacher, and his name's Brian Sawinski, and that's at Cicero's on February 13th from 8 to 11. So we're doing all, like, he's really into 90s stuff.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's good. That's what like I love. Right, movies. Third Eye Blind.
If I yeah, like, we're doing. I think we're doing the Third Eye. We might be doing Jumper, but I'm not sure. So, but yeah, we do lots of like Dave Matthews type stuff.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite kind of generation of music or decade of music that you favorite? Just all over. All favorite. Tell me your exact favorite year of music ever right now or no?
Well, the thing is, I'm okay from. Early jazz and blues. I love jazz and blues, and I really like. Okay, I'll just name styles. So jazz, blues, reggae, funk, soul, classic rock, fusion, jazz fusion, progressive rock, '90s hip hop, not new hip hop, '90s hip hop, classical guitar, just all that. I love it all.
Is there any style of music you'd like to learn that you haven't really kind of dabbed into?
Well. I've dived into lots of things. What I really want to get into now is like African and Indian stuff. Oh. Just like they do, since they don't really have established rhythm, like they just do crazy rhythms, and I want to incorporate that in my music. And old Indian classical stuff is really cool. And I know Frank Zappa had huge influence from that, and just a bunch of people look back to that. It's like crazy. Lots of cool instruments, sitar and all that, but I mean, I just want to dive into everything I can.
I'll say you can tell, you can tell there's just, such a passion for the music because it's, there's things that people wouldn't think about that you really are interested in and want to look into that people probably, you know, that may, say, influenced blues style even before that, you know, that people wouldn't even have on their radar that you're kind of interested in learning. I think that's, the more techniques and background and history of things you can learn is just going to make you even better a guitar player, songwriter, you know, things of that, that matter. So that's awesome. Very cool.
Thank you so much.
Is there any bands, if you had like an ideal lineup, not your favorite, you know, but like say you play, say that you play three bands for a show or watch three bands, you know, whatever. What would be the ideal like concert you could go to?
Do they have to be...
Alive, current or now, past, whatever. Any three bands that you could... Don't have to necessarily be your favorite, but
yeah, just, if
you
could say,
three bands I'm going to go see tomorrow, here they are. But if they're your favorite, that'd be all. No. But seriously, I just want to know your favorite three bands. You just tell me. Okay. Shane and I have a bet that I said I could get three of his favorite bands out of them. $10 is right off. No, sure. No, anyway, it would be just some...
Oh, man, that's a good question. There's so many artists I'd see. Let's see. Hendrix with his band of gypsies, that type time. Miles Davis. Miles Davis with John McLaughlin on guitar and just like every good saxophone player ever, maybe.
Yeah.
And... That's so hard. I don't know.
And then a wild card. It's a surprise.
Yeah,
a
surprise. Yeah.
Wild card. Yeah. No, that's cool. I just kind of like picking your random just because you have such, you know, a wide variety of interests that I'm just curious to see kind of what you know, bands come up with and stuff. Yeah. So.
I really want to meet Robert Plant. I don't know why, but that's just been on my mind for a while. After ever since I played with John Anderson, I watched... I love Zeppelin, and I just watched a bunch of... like interviews with Robert Plant, and he reminded me of John Anderson, so I was like, I want to work with him. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a big goal, but hopefully I'll reach it at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, you're still young, you know, you have like, you're so miles ahead of, you know, what I think most musicians are.
Thank you so much. It's
just, you know, the opportunities I think are going to be enlisted and, an upcoming for you, which is awesome. And it's great too that, you know, to be able to be around the other great musicians, because I'm sure it makes you a better guitar player or whatever, because you can learn things from different styles and play with them. And I think the more you play with talented people, the better it makes you,
right,
you can
exactly
kind of challenge yourself.
So yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah, sounds like the school rock is like a great program.
Yeah,
again, really I is. Didn't even know existed outside of Jack Black going to some school as a whatever.
Check it out; it's awesome. I really like it.
Yeah, hopefully, anybody listening, you know, with young kids,
should check it out.
Yeah,
it's in Ball, one in Baldwin, one in Kirkwood.
Are you active on like social media, Twitter, Facebook?
Yes,
all stuff?
Yes. Connor Lau Music, Facebook, Twitter. YouTube,
SoundCloud,
yeah, SoundCloud, just all over. But if you go to kindofloudmusic.com, it takes you to my Facebook, and I post everything on my page.
Oh, cool.
So
And it seems like you almost have to do that now. If you, social media is nuts. It's crazy. And I just, like I said, I'm curious to see what my son's going to be like when he grows up and living, being born into social media, essentially, but you have to have that aspect of whether it's comedians, musicians, or anything, that Twitter, Facebook, just everything. But so do you use it kind of personal stuff, or is it obviously you promote music?
Do you use it
as casual stuff? Just like, hey, I ate a bologna sandwich. So that's my Twitter pretty much.
That's awesome.
I have 200 people that just know I had a grilled cheese for sandwich.
I mean, sometimes I'll share videos with musicians in them or something. But it's really just music. I don't know.
Do they at School Rock? Do they teach the kind of business side of that at all?
A little bit. That'd be cool if they started doing.
I'm just curious because it seems like a pretty big, especially now that a lot of musicians are kind of being able to do their own thing. Not necessarily have to be on a label. And I would be curious of places that do kind of teach business side of music, because it is very important, I think.
Right.
With how the industry it's so weird too. The industry now is just, it seems out of control, in the sense of there's no, let's go sign to a major label and make tons of money. Now it's go sign to a major label and you may make a little bit of money. It's just, it's crazy what the music industry is now and the business side of it, if there even necessarily is an official business.
I know music colleges offer business classes.
Yeah.
For music business.
Have you thought about
I want to go to college for music for sure. Yeah. But I mean, Berklee New School.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, Berklee
Institute. They're all really good. Yeah. So.
You got a little bit of time to
figure
it out. Yeah. Just get to enjoy play now. But I would assume, if college is, going to go to college, it'd probably be for a music.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have any interest in the production side of it?
Because you can learn so much from that too, but everything you know is just going to help yourself more. Yeah. So learning, I definitely want to have some music business, really into that, so I can kind of establish myself in that side of things too.
For sure. I feel like it was totally a stupid question, because I know, just talking to you, I know that's probably what you want to, if it's got music in it, heck yeah. I want to learn, and just want to take it all in, so I was... That was a dumb question. Of course. No, I think music production, I think it builds a new appreciation too when you're able to kind of get to the engineering side.
Yeah, exactly.
See how, producing and things
that. Yeah, it's just awesome.
Builds, because I know a lot of, bands we've talked to, when they go into the studio and they have a really good producer.
Right.
They learn things about songwriting or structuring that they probably wouldn't even thought of. And exactly. Just learning that. Bits of it just
And mixing, sound engineering. Yeah. I've always loved that because my uncle's been a sound engineer, and just finding the way to have really, really good sound is awesome in terms of everything. So,
I think you almost have to have obviously have somebody on your team that knows all that stuff.
Exactly.
But it helps that even as an artist to know all that, to where you can tell exactly what you
want. Yeah, exactly. Some of the stories I've heard from a sound guy's friends of mine is my favorite thing is when a musician comes in and they're like, if you could dial it out for 30 frequency or something like that, just know exactly how they want their sound. So I want to be that guy that's I want my sound exactly like this, make it easy for the sound guy.
Yeah.
Because sound guys will ruin your life if you're not friends with them. I've seen videos of
just clipping and just horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Muting everything except...
Right, yeah.
I saw a Courtney Love video or something where they muted everything except her, and it was terrible. So
there's been recent stuff with Britney Spears and different stuff. They released whatever is the tracks that unfinished or whatever, and they're just that sounds excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, when it comes to pop music, that stuff's so... produced.
Exactly.
But, hey, whatever they want to do, it sells, whatever. But, it's interesting. And I'd be scared to be a musician, a singer, and then, because...
If you weren't even that talented and you relied on all that, that would not be good.
I don't know if, any production for my voice would, make it sound. Unless it, auto-tune, did a... T-Pain.
Yeah.
Those T-Pain mics from Walmart. Get to
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to find a filter. This whole podcast will just do a T-Pain filter.
That'd be hilarious.
Plug in LC. Yeah. Their pitch is just going up and down all over the place. It's crazy. So go ahead, if you want to mention the stuff you have coming up again here. Dates there. And you said that's with Irie Sun.
Yes.
And you said you're playing with, was it your...
My first guitar teacher, Brian Sawinski. So, Irie Sun, Tequila's 6:45 to 9:30 on Saturdays, January 24th and 31st. And cool. I'm playing with Brian Sawinski at Cicero's on February 13th from 8 to 11.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll post that too when we post the episode here. We'll have all that on there so people can go check it out.
And on my page, I play more, so I post all on there where I'm playing and everything.
Awesome. And you can check out the videos on YouTube that you guys playing. And you said the website was
KindaLoudMusic.com.
Okay, cool. So yeah, we'll link all that on there too. That way people can find you and check you out and be jealous of how awesome a guitar player you are. As soon as I hear that Bohemian Rhapsody, they're like, God, dude, this dude's awesome.
No, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
I'll probably just like act like I record it, play it, and upload a video on YouTube and be like lip playing. Like, this is me in the back. He's on a piano. What is he doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, no, it sounded awesome. So.
What'd you hit, like some milestone on YouTube the other day?
I got 900 subscribers and over 400,000 views.
That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Good deal. Well, appreciate you coming.
Thank you
out
guys
us,
so much for
it was
having
a blast
me.
Was and a pleasure
awesome.
To pick your brain. And
thank you. It was fun to work.
We'll have you on, and I'm going to make sure you pick your favorite band ever. Favorite song and favorite episode of something on TV.
Okay.
No, but it was a blast talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, check out KindaLoudMusic.com. That's right.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And Bohemian Rhapsody, it's... I'm playing at the beginning of this because it's awesome. So
thank you so much.
He rocked it out, and check him out and his band. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Connor.
All right. Rock Paper Podcast, episode 43. That's a wrap. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.